Yeah, I'm ready to go. I was ready to go a while ago, but technical issues today. My thanks to CBS for filling in. All right, here we go. It's just a little bit of a delayed show today, but that's fine. Because, yeah, and CBS does a great job, and I appreciate everything that guys like Mike DeCourcy do. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, you don't get a call in on those shows, and you get a call in on this one because I want to hear from you at 404-726-0929. What a day. Big day. It's a big Sunday. It's Selection Sunday. And it's not just, look, I know that we focus on the men, but I want to shout out, it's Women's Sunday, too. And I know that over at Georgia Tech, they're wondering where they're going to be seated from it. And every other tournament, for that matter, because they all fall in line. Once the men's selection show happens, everything else happens. And there are, I don't know how many tournaments there are. Well, you got, let's see here. I'm going to miss one here. Well, anyway, welcome to the show. John Fricke with you from the Northern Kia Studios. Just a little bit delayed this morning. It's all right. Big day on the radio station. You have Atlanta Hawks tonight against Kirkland. That game will be starting at coverage at 5:30, but that's going to be with the Real Voice of the Hawks on V103, all right? Because at 6 o'clock tonight, Mike Conney and Jason are going to be broadcasting from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Lionel Messi's in tonight, okay, at Mercedes-Benz. Doesn't it seem like, you know, the soccer season's like football. It's double the football season in terms of game because it goes so long. And I guess these guys have to rest and stuff. But, boy, it's like, okay, can we play more than, like, one game a week? So, anyway, Atlanta United and Inter Miami tonight from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I know a lot of people, including my daughter, Danny, who is the my daughter is, for those of you who I know, I brag on her probably too much, but it's okay. She's a manager of major events at the Home Depot backyard. So if you see a big, tall, beautiful girl, well, not a girl, she's a woman, down at the Home Depot backyard walking around, name tag Danny. That's my daughter, and she's putting out all the stuff. By the way, to brag on her, you may not know that. Well, you don't, because I didn't tell you, nobody else would. The Home Depot backyard for the Falcons games, which she runs that on the tailgate inside the Home Depot backyard. The NFL goes around to all 32 teams, and they rank the 32 teams on the tailgate that they put on before the game in their official team tailgate, which is the one that's in the backyard. And the Falcons and Danny and the Home Depot backyard, second year in a row, they rank number one in the NFL. Number one. How about that? Best tailgate, team tailgate in the NFL, back-to-back years. So congrats to her. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Big game tonight for Atlanta United. And I'm sitting here looking at my Gold S Cup 18 champion champagne bottle that I've never opened. I'd love to have a second, but we'll see how that kind of works out as they get ready for Inter Miami and Lionel Messi and Suarez and that whole bunch tonight, and see if Atlanta United can score, see if they can win, see if they can kind of duplicate what they did at the end of last year when they knocked Miami out of the playoffs. And so a lot going on. So again, the Hawks 5:30 on V103, and that'll be the Hawks against Kirkland, and that'll be 5:30. They're up in New York. So see, hopefully they have a slightly better third quarter. Slightly better third quarter than they had against the Clippers. Whew. And then Atlanta United can you know, get on the board and put some pressure on Messi. And again, I don't know, play or not. We all understand that he has. You know, there was some thought that he might play for Atlanta, not Miami, when he came over to retire, had Atlanta had a grass field. And, of course, that's the thing. He's like, I don't like to play on turf. So, don't go to see Messi. Go see Atlanta United. And if Messi shows up and plays, great. If he doesn't and he just sits on the bench, then you can say, hey, there's Messi. He's down there on the bench. But don't go there. If your intention is to go see Lionel Messi play soccer in Atlanta, I got to tell you. Just want to set your expectations, that's all, okay? Because, again, he may play, he may start, he may sub in. I have no idea. He may not play at all, okay? I just want to set your expectation on that. We have lots to talk about, you and I, when we get to the top of the hour. Mike Conney, who is the play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, will join us in the 11 o'clock hour, kind of preview that game. It is Selection Sunday. Noelle White is running the board back at the Colony Square at the mothership here. She is the executive producer. She's the technical director. She is the phone screener. She's the co-host. You know, you got like 8 other titles, Noelle? 9? I mean, you do everything, right?
Something like that.
How you doing? Hello, Noelle?
Yes.
How you doing?
Yes. Pretty good, John. Pretty good.
Hey, so there's like, you know, how many, I was sitting here thinking, how many, if you don't make the postseason in basketball, something's kind of wrong, right?
Man. And I think the team that I'm wearing on my t-shirt today is not going to make the basketball postseason.
Yeah, you are a fan of, go ahead, fill in the blank.
The North Carolina Tar Heels. Go Heels, but they ain't going far this year.
Yeah, you can't spell North Carolina without NIT. Yeah, that's an old
Yeah, looks like you this season.
But I'm not sure that the NIT is the second tournament anymore because of this new thing. Have you heard about this thing called the Crown?
No, not for me.
The Crown is a 16-team tournament. It's being put on in Las Vegas. And most of the big teams that are not going to the NCAA men's tournament are going to this thing that's called the Crown. They're going to Vegas for a 16-team tournament. Apparently there's more money. And so I would expect that North Carolina, the NIT, is like going, well, what happened to us? You're stealing all our teams. It's called the Crown. So there's a new tournament called the Crown in Las Vegas where 6 in the NCAA tournament are going to be going. And a lot of those teams are going to go to the Crown instead of the NIT for a couple of reasons. One, because you don't have to travel so much. You make one trip and that's it. You just hang around Vegas. Two, your fans want to go to Vegas. They don't really want to play a road game in Paducah. You know, no offense, Paducah, sorry, if you're a Paducah fan. So they are going to this thing called the Crown to fire up this lot of money behind the Crown as a second to the men's tournament. So Carolina might go to Vegas for the Crown.
Well, okay, well, I guess there's something. There's light at the end of this tunnel, I guess. The Crown. All right.
Yeah. So you got the NCAA men's tournament, that's 68 teams. Of course, they're still talking about expanding that. You have the Crown, that's 16 teams. Last I checked, I think the NIT was still 32 teams. You have the CBI, which has that funky thing where you do best 2 out of 3 of the championship round. Then you have, of course, the women's NCAA tournament, the women's NIT. I don't know if there's a women's Crown or not. I know there's still a women's NIT, I think. Division II tournament, Division III tournament. There's a lot of tournaments. But, of course, only one that anybody really, no offense to the women's basketball fans out there, Georgia Tech fans, because I know the Jackets are probably going to make the field in the women's tournament. But it's the men's tournament that sucks the oxygen out of the room. And everybody likes to pick their brackets here. So, Noelle, are you a bracket maker picker?
Oh, no, I'm as bad as that as I am gambling. I leave all that alone.
All right, okay. Hugh used to do like 6, you know, and he figured he'd get like 1 right. I only do 1. I don't like doing 6. I'm not, you know, hey, listen, I'll pick 6 different teams and hope I get one of the bracket things right. It's not how I won. I'll screw it up. It'll be terrible. I'll have enough red ink in there. I mean, one entire side of my bracket will be like just red from the jump. That's okay. But I like to try. I always try and figure out, you know, is it chalk? Is it not chalk? Is it upsets? Because you could look at the tournament in the field and you can make a strong case that it's going to be a chalk tournament. I mean, when you're talking about Duke and look at the 4 teams that played yesterday in the SEC, Tennessee and Auburn, even though Auburn and Alabama are out. How about that? Tennessee and Florida. I mean, how good is the SEC? Good Lord. And, you know, with Duke, with Cooper Flagg coming back, and, of course, Louisville's pretty darn good, and St. John's with Rick Pitino's made a hell of a run, and the Big 12 have got some really good teams, and you're looking at Houston and all these powerhouse clubs that are at the top and going, oh, all these powerhouse teams are going to run through. And yet, if you do step down and look at some of the mid-majors, there are a lot of teams with over 30 wins. And I don't care who you are, but if you're Liberty or Drake or UC San Diego, or if you're one of these St. Mary's, if you get to 30 wins, you've done something right, okay? You could play. And so all it takes, okay, one day where you can't miss, and suddenly Duke is out, right? We all understand this. Look at how many times it's happened over the last few years with teams that have made the Final Four run, George Mason, Loyola, Wichita State, I mean, Virginia Commonwealth, on and on and on, of these schools that make these runs. This probably goes back to the big sea change probably kind of happened when Butler made the back-to-back championship games. The mid-majors really started to make, you know, hay, because you know there's probably going to be a mid-major that breaks through, at least to the Elite Eight, maybe to the Final Four, which makes this so difficult. All right, break here and get to the top, back at the top of the hour here. We'll roll you to 2 o'clock today, and Dylan's going to take over. 404-726-0929. Big day on the radio radio stations. Hawks tonight, 5:30 V103. United, 6 o'clock on 92.9 The Game. We'll talk a little bit about that. Mike Connie in the next hour as well. Break down the brackets. And then I got a question about this whole, I'm confused about this whole Falcons-Cousins thing from a national perspective. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'll walk you through that. John Fricke on a Sunday on Sports Radio, Selection Sunday on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 92.9 The Game, Sunday morning, Selection Sunday, coming up 6 o'clock tonight, by the way, for Selection Sunday. Going to be really interesting to see how they kind of lay out the field. You know, it's still fascinating to see what's going to happen, even though I'm pretty sure we know who the number one seeds are going to be at this point. Pretty obvious, I think Auburn's going to be a number one seed. Probably still, despite the loss yesterday, still probably the... I mean, Auburn or Duke, number one seed. Be close between those. And that, all right, it doesn't really matter. I mean, they're going to be number one seeds. They're going to see today in the SEC championship game. How about that? You had Auburn and Alabama, and everybody, oh, we're going to get a rematch. Mark Sears at the buzzer, all this kind of good stuff. People throwing towels at each other. These two hate each other. And Florida and Tennessee said, nah. We're going to steal all that. Ain't going to be no Auburn, Alabama. Ain't going to be no basketball Iron Bowl. No. We're taking that. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And so Florida and Tennessee are going to play in Nashville for the SEC championship. But the winner of that game is probably a number one seed as well. Certainly Florida is. Is Tennessee, you know, maybe? You know, it's possible that if Tennessee wins that you could see a team like St. John's slide into a number one. Houston will be the other number one. It doesn't really matter that much, obviously. But something you may not know about the field of 68 is that not only do you have, you know, four number ones, four number twos, et cetera, all the way down, and then the four play-in teams, and they can call it whatever they want. It's not a play-in game. It's the turn. Now, okay, fine. You call it whatever you want. I consider it a play-in game. All right? I'm going to call it that because that's what it is. Those games in Dayton are play-in games. It's nice. Yes, they're NCAA games. If you win a game there in Dayton, you have won a game in the NCAA tournament, but it's still playing to get into the field of 64. Don't care what you want to say about how we can't diss those teams. They're actually in the tournament. I understand. I'm just going to refer to them as the, you know, the first eight, right? Because it's not four anymore. They're going to be, they're playing into the tournament, all right? So they rank these teams not just by number one seed, number two seed, number three seed, etc. They rank them 1 through 68. Okay, that's the first thing they do. 1 through 68. Who's number one? Who's number two, three, four, five, six, seven? I think it's number 67, number 68. That's how they determine, you know, who the last four in are and who the last, you know, who the number one seed is. And then because the number one seed plays against, you know, it's sort of like number one plays against 8-9, right? But you always play against the lowest 8-9. You know, so it's a thing where they've got a formula that ranks 1 versus 68 and tries to even out the field. And then, of course, they do the whole pod thing. It's a complicated procedure. We've got to kind of figure it all out here, but they've got to let everybody know, you know, where they're headed. And some of the teams get kind of tipped off as to where they're headed because, I mean, they obviously see it. The conference will tell them, yes, we have information that says that you're going to go here. And so the conference will get some inside information so that they can begin to make some plans, you know, to travel somewhere. Anyway, be that as it may, we get that tonight. Did get a DM in the break here, Noel, from a friend of mine who says, did you call them the Nets Crooklyn? That's all it said. I went, yeah. You know, I haven't responded, but it's, yeah, I called them Crooklyn. Does he not know about the movie?
I guess not. When you said it, I chuckled.
Yeah. I guess it's Spike Lee. Okay. I didn't make the name up. Okay.
It's so funny because YouTube, I've seen like three different like YouTubers do like Kirkland reviews in like the past like 10 days. It's funny.
Yeah. So I didn't make it up. You know, I'd take credit if I came up with that name. Because having lived in New York and having been down on Jamaica Avenue and having been at LIU and having been around Kirkland in my life, it's a pretty good name. But, yeah, it's a movie. Okay. Hawks tonight against the Kirkland Nets, who were, it used to be, of course, the New Jersey Nets, who prior to that were the New York Nets, back in the days of Julius Erving, against the Nets, Hawks Nets, V103, 530, and, of course, Messi and, well, we think, or maybe. And Inter Miami at 6 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz. We'll talk to Mike Connie about that coming up in a few minutes. All right, and after we talk to Mike, I'm going to get into this one make to you about all of the national media that's out there, these big NFL experts who are acting so shocked that Kirk Cousins is getting $10 million and are saying things like, oh, they really did it. I can't believe they did it. Or, boy, that's just, why would they do that? It's like, are you guys paying attention at all? Because I'm sort of shocked that the national media is shocked. It's like, yeah, maybe you should check with us, I guess. Maybe you should pay attention to something outside of New York and Los Angeles. Maybe you should just sort of pay attention to what the Atlanta... We've all been talking about it down here. This is no surprise, guys. Zero surprise, okay? No surprise. We all understood this. The made it very clear. I don't know. Maybe you need to get one of them earwax cleaning dew walkers that they show you on the TV, okay? Because they couldn't have made it any clearer. I'll loop back to this and explain it again. When there was the meeting with Kirk Cousins and Mr. Blank, the only reason anybody knows about that meeting is because the Falcons wanted that meeting to be known, okay? What happens in Mr. Blank's office stays in Mr. Blank's office. Nothing comes out of Flowery Branch. One of the things that the teams in this town are really good at, especially the Hawks and the Falcons, and I'll give credit to the Hawks too, is that they know how to control the narrative. They're very, very good at it. Whereas when I worked in New York or LA or places like that, stuff would leak out all the time, players would tell somebody would whisper to somebody, and stories came out all the time. You don't hear that here. And so when there are meetings inside of Mr. Blank's office, like you can go back to, say, the coach search. Remember, everybody talked about, oh, Belichick. Belichick and his cheerleader are on the yacht. You know, they're on the yacht, and he's meeting again on the yacht, and Belly wants Mr. Blank to cover all of his cheerleaders, you know, tuition expenses at college or whatever it is. I mean, that's all you heard, right? And that's because they're outside of Flowery Branch, and maybe you can't control the narrative so much when they're out there. Or Belichick's people want it to be known. But what happens inside the office when there's a change in a discussion, what happens inside the war rooms of both teams, they're very, very good. The Hawks and the by extension Atlanta United, because it's AMB, are very good at, we don't let anything outside this room, okay? Unless it does come outside the room, in which case, what happened? Oh, they wanted it outside the room. So the Falcons intentionally leaked a small portion of the, without direct quotes, but a small portion of the meeting between Kirk Cousins and Mr. Blank. The small portion where Kirk Cousins said to Mr. Blank, hey, I would like to play this year. And Mr. Blank said, well, we will do what's in the best interest of the football team. And you can read between all those lines because it's obvious the Falcons wanted that out there. So they let that little portion out. Okay, not direct quotes, but they let that little portion out. And they did so for an audience of 31 other NFL teams. Not you, not me, not writers, not nobody, just 31 NFL teams so that they all understood that Kirk Cousins is available. Okay? But at a cost. Not just available, but at a cost. And when they release something at a cost, which is, we'll do what's in the best interest of the team, that means Doesn't take a brainiac to figure that out, Mr. NFL writer. They're not cutting him. We'll do what's in the best interest of the team. In other words, you have to back off your no trade, allow us to trade you to wherever we want, and to get whatever deal that we want to get. Okay? What's going to be in the best interest of this team. But in the it is not and never was in the best interest of this team, not even remotely close, to cut him. And it still isn't. It never was. And again, it doesn't take a brainiac to figure that out. But apparently the NFL writers couldn't figure, oh my God. I mean, the reaction was like, they really did this. Oh my God, I can't believe they did. Why? What are you talking about? Of course he did it. Well, they did. They gave him $10 million. Oh my God, they could have. No, they were never cutting him. We all knew that here in Atlanta. What? Maybe you call somebody down here. These people, they said, okay. Since I was in the media in New York for years, in the media in LA for years, and of course, obviously in the media in Atlanta for 40 years, I know how they work, okay? And the problem with the media in New York and Los Angeles, especially New York, is that, you know, LA is a bubble because it's like LA is so removed, so far removed, 3,000 miles away from the rest of the country, that what the bubble that they live in is just kind of around them. And they're just almost divorced from, because there's a huge, gigantic mountain range between them and the East Coast, from anything happening on the East Coast because of the time change and everything else. So they live in this little kind of, you know, Hollywood land. And it really is Hollywood land. It's their own little make-believe world out there. So that's the problem with LA. With New York, they live in a bubble of, if it doesn't happen here, it doesn't matter. Okay? And so when they're living in the, it only matters what happens in New York. And if we decide that what happens in Boston, you know, because I have, step back here, understand the sports world. Okay. This is, it's news too, but understand the sports world down in the South. What are all the rivalries except for the Falcons and Saints? What are all the rivalries, boys and girls? Oh, they're college rivalries, right? Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, you know, all college rivalries. Duke, North Carolina, they're all college rivalries. Alabama hates Georgia, Georgia hates Tennessee, Florida hates Georgia, South Carolina hates everybody. I mean, it's a case where, you know, it's all right. That's the Northeast, except on a professional level. Since there's no colleges up there that anybody cares about, they don't really care about St. John's basketball. It's just sort of a nice story. And they certainly really don't care about UConn women's basketball. It's just sort of a nice story. They don't have So it's all Yankees, Red Sox, Patriots, Giants, Eagles, you know, Redskins / Commanders. It's all professional sports, right? It's the Mets, the Yankees. That's what it is. It's professional rivalries. So if it doesn't happen among those pro teams that are up there in that corridor from Philadelphia to Boston, then it doesn't happen. And they just don't pay attention to it. And so they get caught off guard all the time because they're not paying attention. Because nobody bothers to pick up the phone and call down here to Atlanta and say, Falcons aren't really going to do that. Well, yeah, they're. Why would they do that? Okay, you're not paying attention. Mr. Blank said clearly, we're going to do something. We're going to do whatever we want with you in the best interest of this team. And if you're too dunderheaded and thick-headed not to be able to figure out what that means, I can't help you. And they're all caught off guard. And I'm like, really? Get outside your bubble, dude. All right, quick break. Tonight, Inter Miami and Atlanta United, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, hot ticket. Messi, maybe more or less. We'll ask Mike Conley. He's the man who would know. And, of course, he's probably going to tell us, I don't know, because we don't know. Can United get back on the board? And what about this matchup tonight? And we'll also talk to him about the Atlanta Hawks as they go off to Brooklyn and finish out this season. It's all ahead. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Busy Sunday on the Family of Stations, 5:30 today. If you're looking for the Hawks and the Nets, Real Voice of the Hawks coverage, Steve Holman from Brooklyn, New York City. Brooklyn's not a separate town. It's a borough of New York City, so it's actually New York City. 5:30 on B103, and then at 6 o'clock on 92.9 The Game, coverage of Atlanta United and Inter Miami from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, of course, when it comes to Atlanta United and voices, Mike Conley is the play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, and he will be front and center with Jason Longshore at the stadium tonight for this playoff rematch between these two teams. And he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Mike. What's up? I don't hear Mike.
John, are you there?
Hi, there you are. Hey, Mike.
How are you doing, John?
I'm doing good, man. So, exciting game tonight. You know, Inter-Miami, last time you saw them, you were knocking them out of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's crazy. Inter-Miami has been probably the best team in North America since the Super Friends all got together and started playing together here in MLS with Messi and Jordi Alba, Sergio Busquets, and Luis Suarez. And they've been running over everyone other than one team, and that's Atlanta United. They have been the bogey team for Inter-Miami. And, you know, that playoff series in particular, there were – a lot of kind of weird, strange things that happened that ultimately, I think, resulted in Brad Guzan being the central figure in winning that series for Atlanta United. You know, on paper, Atlanta United is so much better now than they were the group that played Miami in the postseason. Just top to bottom, the roster is so much better. And yet, I get the feeling coming into this game tonight, even with Inter-Miami in the midst of Champions Cup and playing through a lot of match compression right now, that this is going to be an incredibly difficult game for Atlanta United tonight.
So what do you expect here? I mean, with Atlanta United, they scored three goals, obviously, with Lotte Lath and win their opener, and then they haven't scratched since. So is it a case where they just have to get one in the back of the net and then things will start flowing for them?
Well, I hope so. However, you know, unfortunately, I think this has kind of become a trend over the last couple of years. And we talk at various points during the season about how, oh, Atlanta United is doing everything but scoring. They're doing everything but putting the ball in the back of the net. I think there's some truth to that when you look at how the Charlotte and Red Bulls match has played out. They certainly got a lot of shots on frame. They're among the league leaders in shots on target, or at least were coming into this week. But they haven't underperformed their expected goals, which is a measurement of the likelihood of a goal occurring based on where the shot came from. They haven't really underperformed their expected goals by a dramatic amount. I think there have been some interesting pieces this week that have analyzed what the problem is in Atlanta United's attack, and it seems to all boil down to everyone not being on the same page yet. And that's to be expected when you've assembled an attacking group that had not played together prior to 3 weeks ago. So hopefully, you know, through examination of film, through extended time on the training ground, through the return of critical wide players like Pedro Amador and tonight Brooks Lennon, hopefully, this is going to start to open up for Atlanta United, because one issue that they, I think, have been dealing with is they've gotten too narrow down the middle. They've gotten too compact down the middle, and they're playing themselves into phone booths. And now I think with Brooks Lennon coming back tonight and Pedro Amador coming back now for a second game, this hopefully will allow Atlanta United to attack from wider positions and maybe spread an opposing defense out a little bit. Similar to an American football team lining up with five wide receivers with the intent of running a quarterback draw so they can spread the defense apart and there's more room down the middle for the quarterback to run. It's kind of a crude reference, but that's the best I can do on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, no, it's all right. 6 o'clock tonight, live on 99 The Game. Of course, big crowd expected. I know that you don't know the answer to this, but if I don't ask it, people are going to get mad at me. Any indication as to whether or not Messi will even attempt to play tonight or sub in or...
No, I mean, he'll be there. He's definitely coming. Javier Mascherano, Inter-Miami's coach, at least said that. Messi played about 40 minutes in Jamaica on Thursday night in a CONCACAF Champions Cup game. He scored. Prior to that, he had been on the bench for a few games and had not played. But the fact that he played Thursday night seems to indicate that he's not hurt. Messi's never had an issue with playing on turf before. So, you know, please don't assume that that is the determinant. We've seen many examples now of Messi going out and playing on turf and not having any issues. Inter-Miami's a really deep, talented team, though, John, and they've brought in some players over the offseason that have made their attack even more dynamic than what they had last year, and it has nothing to do with Messi. Messi has not played with these guys a lot. I'm talking about Telasco Segovia, who has scored three times in the league so far, and Tadeu Allende, who has scored twice for Inter-Miami, had a goal for them. The goal against Charlotte last week in their 1-0 win, where they went down to nine men because their goalkeeper was sent off. So between Allende and Segovia, and then obviously you have Suarez, and they seem to play a lot through Benjamin Kromoski Thursday night after they had an injury problem in their midfield, and they lost a midfielder due to injury in the first half, David Ruiz. My guess is Messi will come off the bench tonight. I'd be surprised if he started, because quite frankly, I don't think he needs to start right now. But I wouldn't rule out the possibility of Messi starting either. In either case, unless one team is blowing the other out in the second half, I think you're going to see Messi at some point tonight.
Mike Heine, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. Again, 6 o'clock coverage right here on 92.9 The Game, Inter-Miami and Atlanta United. We mentioned, of course, Mike is a man of many hats here, so I'm going to fire some other things at him real quick. Mike, I'm kind of surprised at the national media reaction, NFL writers' reaction, to the Falcons making the move to pay Kirk Cousins the $10 million that he, you know, for to keep him here, because wasn't it obvious to – it was to me, and maybe I'm just wrong – wasn't it obvious that when Mr. Blank indicated that they were going to do what was in the best interest of the club, that they are going to seek to, at some point now, after June 1st, during the season, trade him and get some value for him?
Yeah, or keep him and have a very good backup quarterback, I mean, which could also fall under the framework of best interest in the team. No, I'm not surprised at all. I am a little surprised at kind of the righteous indignation that was out there yesterday. Oh, I can't believe the Falcons did this. Well, first of all, there are mechanisms still in place for the Falcons to get some of this money back. There's mechanisms in place for the Falcons to still get value for Kirk Cousins later this offseason. And again, I find it to be a perfectly reasonable explanation that you have X amount of money budgeted for the quarterback room, regardless of who's the starter and the backup, and you're at that budget right now. The one thing that I'm glad the Falcons aren't doing is just letting Cousins walk for nothing because he wants to go play for a starter. That's not the Falcons' problem right now. I don't want to see Kirk Cousins walk for nothing and get nothing in return, considering all you have to do to get him, all you have to give up, the draft pick you lost because you tampered to get him. I don't think Kirk Cousins has earned the right to just go over the head of Raheem Morris and Terry Fondo and go straight to the owner and plead to be allowed to leave for no compensation to the Falcons because he wants to go to the starter. Go be a starter somewhere. I'm perfectly fine with the position that the Falcons have taken in all of this.
Yeah, I am too. Righteous indignation is a good term here, because I don't think they understand the dynamic of what's taking place. But
okay. No.
All right, but I'm good with everything, and I expect that we'll move forward here in an offseason, kind of broadly here. I know a lot of fans have been disappointed, but, again, working with what you have to work with, again, having to part with Grady and Dahlman was really never coming back because of the money. I actually think the Falcons have done okay if, in fact, that they have found some diamonds in the rough. And I'm not just talking about Leonard Floyd and, Divine Diablo, but maybe a guy like Morgan Fox. You're going to go with the young guys in the interior defensive line, and because there's one thing I can't know, and I mentioned this yesterday, and I've been talking about it. When Jeff Ulbrich came in, did he look at tape and did he watch things and say, why in the world weren't you playing Ruka Roro? Guy just makes plays. And I don't know if it was a scheme thing or if it was a Rook thing or whatever, but it's entirely plausible, Mike, is it not, that Jeff Ulbrich looks at some of these young players, most notably Dorlas, Aurora, and Trice from last year, and says, we didn't see one, we should have seen more of the other two, and that these three guys can be impact players.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely possible. And I also think, too, the Falcons, every team in the NFL, including the Falcons, deserve the benefit of the doubt until the draft is complete in evaluating what they have done this offseason. Look, the Falcons did not have a lot of money to spend. You know, this is like you have a credit card and you're right up against the limit and you're trying to find the last few things you can buy before you go over the limit and they shut your card off. And I think the Falcons have done a reasonably good job at that. But what they end up doing in the draft, and if they end up spending their entire draft capital on the defensive side of the ball, I think will go a long way to determining how we feel about this offseason. And I think there's plenty of value on the draft board where the Falcons are selecting and with the number of picks that they have, where they can go out and hopefully find at least two or three immediate impact players for this defense. And then I feel even better about what they've done in this offseason. Now, unfortunately, the last couple of years, the Falcons have not done a very good job at finding a lot of impact players in the draft outside of, you know, the can't-miss prospects like a Bijan Robinson or a Drake London. You know, they're going to have to show us some things in this year's draft that, unfortunately, we haven't seen in the last couple. But I think the totality of what this team does in free agency and draft is how we need to evaluate this. I can't just look at what they've done in free agency and give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down, because they have just been so limited financially in what their options were. But I do, to your point, John, I do think they found some good value in some players. I think Morgan Fox is a very intriguing player. The guy from the Raiders, Diablo, very, very intriguing player. And will help them with speed. You know, they had some issues with their linebackers maybe not being, you know, the fastest. And he'll come in and he'll address that need right away. So I think, you know, Jeff Ulbrich and Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris, they've identified what they need, what they can get, how they can improve this defense based on what they need and what they can get. And they're on the right track so far.
All right, so Mike Heine wins the bracket challenge at the station every year, has for 15 years in a row. So, you know. Okay, maybe not. Maybe I'm incorrect about that. But most fans don't realize, Mike, and I want you to promote the coverage on the station of the NCAA tournament because Selection Sunday tonight. I think most fans don't realize. Now, so, do you realize that UConn's going for three straight national titles? And most people are like, really?
Yeah, I let my dog pick my bracket. I feel like he's got a better chance than I, because I've seen people who are absolute experts at college basketball and are incredibly knowledgeable and do a great job of handicapping these games, and they do no better than you know, Susie from accounting or Joe in finance, who might not even be able to identify a single college basketball player. There's so much luck of the draw. But it's a fun 3 weeks. I've had a lot of fun watching the conference championships. Kennesaw State made a little bit of a run. And, you know, Liberty, who ended up getting in out of Conference USA last night, they very nearly lost on Friday to Kennesaw State in the semifinals of Conference USA. So, you know, we'll have a local team in Georgia. We almost got Kennesaw in there as well. I think Georgia Tech will go to the NIT. I have always had a lot of fun watching the tournament, especially the first 2 days. You'll be able to hear a lot of those games on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and also our sister station, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. So thank you for letting me do that plug, John. As far as who's going to win it all, man, I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, St. John's looks pretty tough to me right now.
Yeah, how about Rick Pitino? That's
how about that?
You know,
how about that? You know, someone posted a graphic of Rick Pitino in the second year of his tenure at St. John's, Iona, Louisville, Kentucky, Providence, everywhere he's been. His second year has been remarkable. And he did it again with St. John's this year. That looks like a team that would be very, very tough to play against. But again, you know, it's all matchup dependent, and it's all based on who's having a good day and who's not. And that's the one fun thing about the tournament now. It might not have been this way 30 years ago, but with the way that the NBA has changed college basketball with one and dones, and you don't have nearly as many seniors now, these tournaments are so much more wide open than they were 30 years ago, when it was kind of destined when the brackets came out that, okay, you're going to have UNLV, you're going to have Duke, and maybe two other high seeds, maybe not Cinderella's, and that's your final four. We don't really have that anymore, and it makes the tournament more fun.
Mike, as always, thanks much. Enjoy the game tonight. Don't have to tell you to do it. It's a big one. Thanks much.
It is. See you, John. Thanks a lot.
Atlanta United, Messi in Miami tonight, 6 o'clock live on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Again, Hawks and Nets, 5:30 coverage on our sister station, V103 with Steve Holman. All right, we'll take a quick break when we get back. Let's talk a little bit about the brackets and the Falcons, all right? 404-726-0929. John Fricke on a Sunday morning with you as we roll into a big night tonight right here on the station. Sports Radio 92 on The Game, Sunday morning with you. Big Sunday. Hawks tonight in New York against the Nets. 5:30 on V103, Atlanta United. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Inter Miami, 6 o'clock. Mike and Jason on the call. And, of course, it is Selection Sunday as well. Yesterday, and I know Braves fans are anxious to talk about their team, but unfortunately right now, I guess maybe kind of fortunately, is that we kind of know what the Braves story is. The Braves story is, all right, let's just kind of get through spring training and get to opening day here, which is in about 12 days. You start next week, you're going to start to hear more about the Braves. And we'll get more into it, but today, of course, is going to be dominated by those other stories, including Selection Sunday, and by the Falcons' move yesterday to pick up the $10 million in 2026 and the roster bonus for Kirk Cousins. So I want you to be part of the program. Again, the rules are simple here between now and 2 o'clock. You are a guest, not a caller. We can disagree without being disagreeable, and the phone number is 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. I'm going to throw out a few things. You're welcome to come in on the Braves. If you want to talk about the Braves, I'm fine with it. I'm just saying that they're not making a whole bunch of news right now, which, for better or worse, is, I don't know, a good or bad thing in your world. Could be a bad thing because you want to see them, you know, make some moves. And, you know, I have one concern about the Braves, which is the bullpen. But we'll see how they handle everything. Certainly, I think it is Selection Sunday. I mentioned at the end of the discussion I was having with Mike Connie that a lot of fans don't realize, Noel, I'm not pointing fingers at you or anything. I'm assuming that 95% of the fans out there, unless you happen to live up in that area of the country, don't realize that UConn is going for back-to-back-to-back national titles. I think that they forgot that UConn's, they probably couldn't even tell you UConn won it last year. That was a great team, too. And they won it back-to-back. I mean, normally that would be like a big deal. And just some people, you know. That UConn program has really been something. If you think about UConn, what's been the dominant college basketball program of the last, say, 25 years? Well, it's been UConn. The UConn women's team and they've won 6 national titles. 6.
And they're in a position where both teams could do it again this year. Both teams
right.
are serious contenders.
Yeah, they had a year where they did have the double, right? Did somebody else have the double? Did Duke or somebody have the double? They did. UConn did. Men and women both won it same year. They have been the powerhouse basketball program in the nation over the last, you know, above Duke, above Carolina, above Kentucky, above anybody, above Gonzaga. Gonzaga's never actually won the title. UConn's won 6, including that win over George Tech. I mean, it's been something. And by the way, I think that's with 3 different head coaches.
Yeah, because this recent turnaround is just happening with Dan Hurley, but he got something cooking.
Mean, of course, you know, that says something about the state of the program out there. It's been incredible up in Connecticut, and so maybe they don't get their due. So my question to you isn't so much about that. My question to you is more about, I want to know if anybody out there has a bracket insight, okay? If anybody out there has been like a bracket genius, like, you know, a bracket guru. And I'm not talking about, okay, I do 30 brackets and I do them all differently. Then that doesn't count. I want to know if you have a system where you have either won or at least competed to win in the final 3 of your bracket challenge over a long period of time, and because your system works. And I'd like you to tell me what your system is. Yeah, I want you to spill the beans. I want you to give me the inside skinny. Look, I've been doing brackets for as long as I can remember. I was doing brackets in the late 1970s, when I think it was still a 32-team event at that time. And so I've been doing brackets for 45 years, all right? So Because I know that from the jump when I got to CNN, we were doing brackets in 1980. So I won once. I won one bracket at CNN. I don't remember the exact year. It was in the late 80s, and I won it, and because we would gamble on it, because we gambled on everything back then, because Craig Sager was, God rest his soul, the league gambler, and he got everybody to gamble on everything. So we bet on everything inside CNN. And it was like, $20 and you get, 60 people or 70 people because you get the news people involved, and you'd have, $1,500 in the kitty, and 60% of it would go to the winner, and you get like $800. And I won it, and I got like $800. All right. So, and it was great. And the reason I won it was because I just happened to get, I do remember having a really good opening weekend where I got like, of the 32 games, I think I got 31 of the 32 right. And then I had like 7 of the 8 elite 8 teams, and then I had the national champion. And it came down to the national title game, and my team won, and it was like me or somebody else, and he had the other team, and I don't even remember who it was, frankly. I don't know if it was like Kentucky or somebody. I don't know. Anyway, I had the champion, he the team that won, and I won. I was like, hey, I won. And that was just kind of, blind squirrel, finding an acorn. Because outside of that, if you look at my brackets, and I only fill out one because I'm not that guy that fills out multiple. I fill out brackets, and I guarantee you that by the time we get to the Sweet 16, I've got one section of the four sections, right? I got one section that has more red in it. It looks like somebody came into the Art the Clown showed up, okay? It's got so much red in it, it's ridiculous. It's just blood red. And then the another one that is pretty much on its way to being dead. And I've got two that are sort of still alive. And usually only one that's really, really alive. And, because I don't know, do I go chalk? Do I not go chalk? Because, like, look at this year. Look at this season. What are we looking at here? You can make a strong argument for chalk, right? I mean, the best teams are the best teams. The SEC is a powerhouse. The Power Four is a powerhouse. Okay? It's all about the Power Four, except for the fact that UConn, which is not in the Power Four, it isn't even winning its own conference because that St. John's didn't even make its conference title game because that was St. John's and Creighton. You're looking at UConn going for three straight national titles, and they've got that kind of thing, And so I don't know how to pick this because the SEC has been dominant. The Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC, I know that some people think the ACC is down a little bit this year, but still it's the ACC. They still have Duke. They still have Louisville, which is a really good team. And then you look at the Big East as that fifth power five in college basketball because of UConn. And now, of course, this year you're looking at St. John's and Creighton and Marquette and other programs that have been really, really good for an extended period of time. Now, is it all about those big teams and just picking and riding with one conference? I'm going to ride the SEC or I'm going to – look, the Big Ten's got some really good basketball teams. I know everybody in the SEC is like, we're the best league in the country. That's great. That's wonderful. You were also the best league over the last couple of years in college football in the regular season. How many titles do you have to show for – oh, that's right, zero. Because you didn't – yeah, right? You didn't win one. Big Ten's won back-to-back. Because that's just the way and the nature of the playoff. That's all. It wasn't that the SEC wasn't the best league, but the Big Ten's got back-to-back football titles. And the Big East has back-to-back basketball titles. So that you were the great regular season one is wonderful, but that doesn't necessarily translate. It doesn't mean... I mean, could the SEC have three of the final four teams? Could it be Alabama and Auburn and Florida? They just call matriculate and they're in the final four? Sure, of course. But I can't know that. I can't figure it out. That's why I'm saying, do you roll the dice and go just pick a league and roll with the league, Because the Big Ten's pretty good too. The Big 12's pretty good too. So it's hard to say, with all these teams out here, and that there's going to be a mid-major. And there is a whole host of so-called, now I don't necessarily look at Memphis is being a mid-major, but they're not in, they're in the American, which is just another step kind of from a league standpoint, kind of down below the Big Five, right? But you have teams that you're not even paying attention to that you may not even know, like Liberty, like St. Mary's, like Colorado State's on a roll. and playing really Colorado State. Yeah, they're playing really good, and they got a good team. I'm a San Diego State guy. I've watched Colorado State play three times this year. I'm telling you, Colorado State can play. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can do any damage to the tournament. Now, just because they can play doesn't mean they're not going to have an off day and be out in the opening round. They could be. But somebody's going to get on a roll, okay? And when they get on a roll, the next thing you know, they're in the Sweet 16. We've seen it here. Look what happened with Georgia State, right? You get on a roll, and suddenly you're in the Sweet 16. Chattanooga has made that run. You know, hey, suddenly Chattanooga's in the Sweet 16. So it's a case where you got to try and figure out. So if you know, my point to you is this. I want somebody out there who can come on to this show at 404-726-0929, not lie to me, because I'm going to have to take you at face value, and say, no, literally, I have won, you know, multiple bracket challenges, and here is how you kind of ace this field in trying to compare, without even looking at the selections so far, obviously, till tonight, how you compare the Blue Bloods to the outsiders. You know, how do you find that Wichita State? How do you find that? Because I don't know that anybody could find a George Mason going into the Final Four. I don't know how you do that. Or Loyola going into the Final. You're just spitballing, right? I mean, you're just guessing and you got lucky. There's no way to actually determine that. Is there? Because not that I can see. But, you know, you have to project if there's an upset into the second round and you look at the matchup of the second round saying, hey, they could beat either of the teams they might. I don't know. I don't know how you guys do it. But I know that there are people. There was one guy, okay? His name was David. He worked at CNN. And David would be in the final discussion to win it. Matter of fact, I think I beat him that year I won it. He won it a couple of times and was in the final discussion. Like there was like 5-6 year period in a row where he either won it or finished second. And I was like, how do you do this all the time? You know, and I kept looking to see, you know, it was it all just chalk and he kind of went with chalk? No, it wasn't all just chalk. So I don't know, maybe it was just blind luck. I have no idea. He's a big college basketball fan, but I don't know. Then the other question, so if you have any insight, I would love to hear from you on that. And then I want to talk about the Falcons with you too. And you're always welcome to chime in here. If you're a Florida and Tennessee fan, how excited are you about what's going on in basketball? You're always welcome to be part of the show. You want to talk about the Braves? I'm always up for a Braves talk. If you're going to the game, you're excited about seeing Messi. My question to you would be, are you okay with it if Messi doesn't actually play? Are you like, hey, I'm going to see Atlanta United, and if Messi's down there, if he plays, it's great. But if Messi's, or are you like, hey, listen, I'm going to the game tonight, and if they don't play Messi, I'm going to be really mad because that's what I'm there for. I'm not going to the game. I wish I could, but I understand either position. 404-726-0929. Got a couple hours to talk to you about all this. Quick break. Breaks are short on this show. And then all of your calls ahead with John Fricke. Stay right there on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.